The Around the NFL podcast hasn't been blocked by Chris Wessling on Twitter.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I'm joined by a room filled with some heroes, Chris Wessling and Greg Rosenthal. What up, boys?
Hey, Dan.
Mark Sessler not with us today, at home with the family, doing familial things. We will carry on without him on another Sunday night in the NFL.
My goal is to be blocked by Chris Wessling by the end of this podcast to say something so offensive.
Whoa.
He has no choice.
Well, you could probably say something about his team of ATL nominee, the Steelers, after their meltdown today. Chris Wessling, what was going through your mind and your heart?
Through my heart, nothing.
Yeah.
Your heart is black.
Sounds like a guy that just got back from Vegas.
Well, I have a few things to say about that, but come on. I'm never going back to that city again.
I was
going to
say, nothing has ever been more doomed than Chris Wessling's trip to Las Vegas. From the start, it never had a shot, and sure enough, there was no upset, it doesn't seem like.
It was great to revisit with a few friends that I've known for 20 or 25 years, but the city itself, come on, that place has nothing going for it.
Wow.
All right. Well, I like Vegas, but whatever. All right, so we got a nice show. A very nice show going over all the games. This is the first bye week of the season. So how many teams, Greg, were off?
Six.
Six teams are off, so that leaves more time for us to dig into all the games of today. And I guess that really we shouldn't waste any time because there's still so much to get to, even with the bye teams. TD, how you doing?
Doing good, guys. Doing good. How you guys doing?
Another shirt without sleeves but a hood. Very confused shirt.
It's a Sunday, guys. Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You did come. You came to our little pod in the newsroom and kind of not even slyly basically told us to clean it up a bit now that we're on camera.
It's yeah, like, no hats allowed.
No hats, which Wessling was not happy about.
This will be an issue with me for a long time.
Wow. Let's just say some shadowy lead figures watched the video that we put out last week, two or three videos we put out, and they're like, yeah, we can clean it up a little bit. So
have they ever seen videos of any other podcast in history when they're wearing flip-flops, T-shirts, and hats?
Also, in our defense, we were told as the podcast was starting that there would be videos.
That's just saying. Fun. Yeah, I mean,
looking better today.
I found this zip-up sweatshirt on my chair. It's probably been there for 2 months, and I said, that will work.
I like our podcast when it's irreverent and doesn't take itself too seriously.
Ooh.
A little Bunsen burner.
Shots fired to the people that aren't going to listen to this anyways.
Forget about the shadowy league theories. That felt like it was at TD.
Guys, I'm just here to make the show, okay? Whatever show we want to put out, the best show for the people, that's what I'm here to do.
This would be a good time for you to reach under your desk and just hold up your Emmy. That would shut us up.
It would be, yes.
All right, so let's get into the games. And, I guess the best place to start is in the NFC where we had a big game in San Francisco where the 49ers coming off some, poor play of late, but they got back on track today against the Eagles. Frank Gore caught a career-best 55-yard touchdown. He added 119 yards on the ground. The inconvenient truth lives, Greg Rosenthal. And the Niners beat the Philadelphia Eagles 26-21 on Sunday. That is the first loss of the season for the Eagles, as we know. Cambridge, who's behind the glass, is very upset because Nick Foles looked like a guy that might lose his job to Mark Sanchez, possibly. That's how bad he looked. Chris Wessling, you were watching this game very closely. What do we make of the Eagles' meltdown on offense? The genius in trouble?
Chip Kelly said after the game, we got whipped up front, and that's exactly what happened. They were without three of their starting offensive linemen. For second game in a row, they had trouble blocking. There is no rushing attack, and they didn't go across midfield until deep into the fourth quarter, really.
The one – that's all true, and yet there they were inside the two-yard line with about 2 minutes to go, third down. All you got to get is 2 yards, and they take the lead late in the game. And I thought they're going to go to LeSean McCoy here. He had just picked up 5 yards, which was actually his longest run of the game. The play before that, they go two straight passing plays. It blows up. What do you think of the play calling there?
I don't have any problem with it because I think they have no confidence in their offensive line. And after watching the entire game, I can't blame them.
LeSean McCoy did figure prominently into the first one of those plays. If he can get a block – I forget which pass rusher it was for San Francisco. If he can get a block and get some time for
Antoine
Nick Foles.
Antoine Bethea coming off the edge.
And if he gives Nick Foles a little more time, he had Zach Ertz coming open, but Foles had to get rid of it quickly. that was the story all day. You know, Foles struggled. He made some bad throws, but it's tough to know how much to blame him, how much to blame the offensive line.
21 of 43, 195 yards, averaged 4.5 yards per attempt. The Gabbard zone. This is Nick Foles and the Eagles offense and the great genius. He was sacked once, a pass rating of 42.3. And, Wes, you were talking about that offensive line. LeSean McCoy was asked earlier, or last week, I should say, about him being off, maybe struggling to out of the gate, 2.9 yards per carry entering this game, and he kind of brushed it off, said, I'm not struggling. You kind of could read between the lines what he was talking about. 10 carries for 17 yards today, along of 5 on the day. So they don't have any running game. Foles has come back down to earth a little bit where he's not having this magical season with no turnovers. And, you know, the offense just isn't the same as last year right now.
They're certainly,
at least
not,
today.
Certainly not getting anything from Riley Cooper, who dropped the potential game-winning touchdown and is averaging 10 yards less per catch than last year.
Why did they give Riley Cooper a long-term contract? That one boggled my mind at the time. It boggles it even more. He has stunk this year. Every time he has a chance to make a big play, he drops it. Nick Foles, why I can't kill him today, he did make a number of really good throws in the fourth quarter.
Just on that one drive, really.
Right. Well, at least he got it going when it counted. I mean, really good throws. One of them was to Cooper, and he just dropped it.
And what about the Niners? What do we take out of this game for them? Wow.
They had a weird, like, bizarre stubbornness about going pass heavy for the second week in a row, and then it looked like Harbaugh might have taken over the play calling. And they went back to the run and sort of rode Frank Gore. But, yeah, the defense looked phenomenal, too. Vic Fangio, good game for his defensive play call.
Every time you try to pour a little dirt on the Inconvenient Truth's grave. I saw you trying to do it, even though you had him on your fantasy team. You say, this is the wrong year. He just rises up out of the ground. One of the great players. I hope he's in the Hall of Fame someday. And I just take out of this a complete team performance, at least from the defense and the offense. Special teams was a disaster for San Francisco. I mean, they needed this win badly. This is a team we're used to seeing in the playoffs. They had to get to 2-2 and win this game.
And all the people on Twitter that were tweeting at me about Chip Kelly's various coaching errors today, I just bring them on. There's no level where I'll hit and I'll be like, you're right, the genius has taken too much abuse. And I noticed TD not using the genius sound drop today, probably because he didn't earn it.
I think we should we could just have that as a weekly running column, have Dan Hansis go full heel. Things that Chip Kelly did stupidly this week by Dan Hansis.
I like that. All right, moving on. Steve Smith talked about this game before he was even a member of the Baltimore Ravens, getting a chance to face the Carolina Panthers, the team that basically brushed him aside after 13 years of service. He came up big today, 7 catches, 139 yards, and 2 touchdowns, and the Ravens beat up on the Panthers 38-10 on Sunday. Carolina has been wiped out 2 straight weeks with Cam Newton ending the game on the bench with Derek Anderson in mop-up time. I ask you, gentlemen, is it time for us to get worried about the 2013 team of ATL, the Carolina Panthers?
Absolutely. I mean, this defense just had 2 performances that we never saw last year. Now, they were without Thomas Davis today, and he's going to come back. But Greg Hardy's not coming back. When you have Justin Forsett running through the middle of your defense, and they couldn't tackle, they weren't swarming to the ball like they normally would. Forsett's bouncing off people. The Ravens' offensive line, which is much better this year, pushed Carolina around all day. We know the secondary in Carolina is not that good. They had no pressure on the passer. They had to start blitzing to create some pressure, and Joe Flacco played very well today against the blitz and made some big plays.
The Panthers are beat up. Their backfield is a mess. Defensive line has some problems, and they have a grueling schedule the next 5 or 6 weeks.
I just couldn't believe what I was watching, because Flacco could just sit back there and survey the field. He hit a big play to Torrey Smith. That's what the Ravens haven't been doing this year. He hit a big play to Kamar Aiken, I believe.
Ow!
And then, of course, Steve Smith. You got to love Steve Smith. Just to deliver in the goods. Like, when everyone's watching, Steve Smith always delivers the goods. It's awesome.
I don't have an NFL team, but I have an NFL player. My favorite player of all time.
Yeah,
Steve Smith.
And you know what? you see that enthusiasm on Twitter when we'll be working on a Sunday and you'll just see these sounds from Wes's pod area and then tweets firing out, just all pro Steve Smith. This is the guy, and it makes me think of a young Wes, like a 24-year-old Wes with all these ideals.
Hair.
And hair, and he loved the Bengals. And I wonder what that guy was like when he had hope in his own team.
Well, that's the reason why my heart is black.
I feel bad for covering this, you know, assigning this game to myself. You should have been watching this, because when Steve Smith, someday, I think he has a chance to get into Canton.
Put him in!
Especially if he
Rosenthal, a lot of Canton talk on Sunday night.
Especially if he has a good couple of years in Baltimore now, this is going to be one of those games you remember. The first game against Carolina. Look, his long touchdown pass was fluky. It was on a tip. But he had a lot of other really great, tough catches throughout the rest of the game. No drops. It was great.
What does it say about the Panthers coaching staff? They couldn't use this guy deep last year.
Right.
135 players had more plays of 20 yards last year than Steve Smith. Julio Jones is the only player this year with more plays of 20 yards.
And 2 points on the quarterback play. Joe Flacco definitely deserves a lot of credit playing without Dennis Pitta. He completed 22 of 31 passes for 327 yards and 3 touchdowns, 137.4 passer rating. And Cam Newton, we should point out, 2 rushes for 7 yards. So he's not running. He's not healthy, maybe?
No, he's not running well at all. When he got outside the pocket, the burst was gone. There was one play where he ran out of bounds, I believe, for a 7-yard loss instead of trying to really run up the field. You knew it wasn't Cam Newton. But I got to say, he played really well in this game. He made a lot of good third down throws. All of the problems in Carolina were offensive line. There's no running game. At one point, you know, D'Angelo Williams got hurt. They're running Taron Poole and Darren Reeves are their two running backs. What is it? Taron Poole, I believe? I don't know.
I worked at Fridays with him, too.
That's what I'm saying.
He ate breadsticks in the back all the time.
Newton's making plays, but the offensive line got killed by Suggs and Doomerville, and the defense was bad. Newton is the least of their problems.
The Detroit Lions came to the Meadowlands on Sunday with Calvin Johnson in the lineup, but he wasn't really there. Calvin Johnson has a bad ankle. He isn't playing close to 100%. Didn't matter, though, because Matthew Stafford stepped up, delivered a big game, threw for almost 300 yards and 2 touchdowns, no turnovers, added a rushing touchdown as well. And my New York Jets, my sweet New York Jets, continue to struggle. A 24-17 loss on Sunday. Geno Smith had 2 more turnovers, was getting booed by the MetLife Stadium crowd, and things are not looking good for the Jets, who suddenly have lost 3 in a row. Gentlemen, I know that we have all been pro-Geno to start the season. Is it time to start worrying about him at this point?
What I wondered was, I didn't see the game, but when I look at the box score, he didn't look like he played any worse than Aaron Rodgers did last week. Maybe this is a lot more about the Lions' defense.
Geno Smith is not playing well. It seems like one of his strengths, I feel, is being able to handle adversity and push the ball downfield and not look like he's playing scared or little, because the moment is getting big for him. This game, he seemed to be playing a lot more tentative. The Jets' offense in general was just a much less exciting, explosive unit than maybe we saw in Week 2 against Green Bay. And there were 5 straight 3-and-outs at one point in the second quarter after a first possession field goal drive. He threw another touch interception, which is now, it's every week occurrence. He'll throw at least 1 pick. He turned the ball over on a fumble. I mean, he took another step back. Not as bad as Monday, but bad.
He has the 3rd most interceptions in his first 20 NFL starts in history.
Wow.
So, I mean, he's got a turnover problem. Even though we like him, I think they should stick with him. You're Jets fans chanting for Michael Vick in the game, and that's immediately the question. Do you want to see Michael Vick?
I'm not ready to see Vick necessarily. I thought that maybe Vick, this would have been a game to put him in when the offense was just completely stagnant and see if maybe he could lift them. I know that invites a controversy, but I thought maybe this was a game, because this was such an important game for the Jets. With a really tough schedule ahead, they could not lose a second straight home game in 6 days.
Oof.
Now all bets are off, and if you're a Jets fan, you really have to worry that your team's going to be 1-6 or 2-7 in a month. One thing, Marty Mornhinwig, to me, the offensive coordinator, keeps on finding himself on the radar for all the wrong reasons. This time, the Jets had a long first possession drive. They used Chris Ivory 9 times, 9 carries for 51 yards, the drive stalled in the end zone, in the red zone, and they got a field goal. And then they benched him for the next two series, and that was during the five straight three and outs. They seem to be so hung up on getting a mix of pass and run that they're missing the big point, which is Chris Ivory is a player
and
Geno
Johnson
Smith
is
lost.
Not.
Chris Johnson, who only had six carries today, had a long touchdown run to get him back in the game. But he is it's not even a question anymore. Ivory is the number one guy here.
Let's talk about the better team in this game.
Yeah, let's do that.
The Lions, team of ATL material.
Wow. How quickly you turned, by the way. You loved the Jets a couple of weeks ago.
Hey, but I predicted the Lions to go to the playoffs, and they look like a playoff team to me.
Well, this very impressive win, by the way, because you win on the road – and you win without Calvin Johnson, essentially, and no semblance of a running game. A very impressive win. Whether the Jets are a good team or not, this is a nice win.
Well, what impresses me is they're not putting up crooked numbers like they did in the Scott Linehan era in terms of yards, in terms of points, but they're winning. They're not making the big boneheaded mistakes.
What's a crooked number?
Yeah, like 37 points or 375 yards.
You don't know that
all
term
from baseball. 1-0?
Well, 7, 8. You know, look, it's a phrase. It's a baseball term. Dan knew what I was.
I knew it.
I knew what I was
locked
going.
In on it.
They're winning different kinds of ways. They're not shooting themselves in the foot. Their defense has to be one of the best in the league so far.
Yeah, and one more point on Geno Smith, who dropped an F-bomb on a fan in the crowd, followed by Sheldon Richardson explaining that nobody should be doing that unless you procreate, and then the child you make with another human goes on to play in the NFL. Then you could criticize a player. It was one of the stupidest points anyone has ever made.
It's a very long-term plan, too.
Right, yeah. That's not going to help the Jets for 25 years or so.
Maybe he's a genius. Maybe that was his intention. You can't say anything for at least 25 years.
If we see an entire, Jets team full of great stars, all with the same birthday, you know what I mean? 25 years from now, we could chart it back to Mr. Richardson.
Jets football. It's fun. J.J. Watt had an 80-yard pick six and was in E.J. Manuel's face all day. A true terror as the Texans improved to 3-1 with a 23-17 win over the Buffalo Bills on Sunday. E.J. Manuel, 225 yards passing, had two touchdowns and two interceptions. But it was not enough as the Texans, and especially J.J. Watt, cruised and got the win. So, J.J. Watt, gentlemen, is it time to start saying that he is a runaway favorite? Or is it too early to say a runaway favorite for Defensive Player of the Year right now?
Remember the Seinfeld episode where George says, "For I am Costanza, Lord of the Idiots"? That's how I feel about picking anyone besides Watt in my preseason Defensive Player of the Year. I mean, come on. He's the best player in football.
I did.
He's the best week-to-week defensive player of my lifetime when I've really been locked into watching football as my job and everything. That's about the last 12 years or whatever. I mean, Darrell Revis was just as dominant, but it's different when you're a cornerback just shutting people down. Watt, week after week.
He's relentless.
Even last year when it was a quote-unquote down year, there's a strong argument to be made he was the best defensive player in the league. You have to talk about him now as just, is he the best football player right now?
I think he is.
Like, is he better than any quarterback is better at what they do? Because there's no quarterback that's quite as dominant right now as J.J. Watt is. He had 9 QB hits in this game. That's a crooked number, Chris Wesseling. I've never seen that, a 9 in that category. Usually we talk about the whole team gets a couple. Remember there's that stat, no QB hits, no sacks.
Oh, yeah.
We had a name for that. I forget.
Was it Lyle?
No, it was Golston.
Oh, Golston. That's
an entire team. He had 9 on his own.
Yeah, that's impressive. Maybe I'm underselling it when I introduce this to you guys. MVP candidate. Let's just, sure. Let's mix things up.
For the first 4 weeks, sure, he would be. Why not? Why can't you give it to defensive players?
I mean, he's single-handedly. I mean, they've won 3 or 4 games with not much offense, not a lot of Arian Foster. Ryan Fitzpatrick led the Texans in rushing today with 14 yards. J.J. Watt is single-handedly carrying this team.
The Bills dominated the first half of this game. It was 10-0. It could have been worse if they had an NFL-caliber starting quarterback, but they don't. E.J. Manuel is terrible. He's a problem. He's not getting better. They had that lead, and you just saw Fitzpatrick have one nice drive at the end of the first half, and that's all they need. The defense basically did the rest.
Bills fans were loving E.J. Manuel after two games, and it was obvious that they were hiding the quarterback. They don't let him play like normal NFL quarterbacks because he can't.
I don't think I've ever complained about a team throwing the ball too much because I always just figured that, you know, fans that complain, oh, you got to run the ball, you got to bounce. Shut up. You get more yards throwing the ball even if you're bad at it. In the first
shut
half,
up. Shut up's not a nice thing to say.
That's one of my favorite Greg Rosenthalisms. He told someone to shut up in the newsroom today, and there was a little bit of tension there.
I don't even remember. Who was it?
Dwayne.
Okay.
Our social media coordinator.
Yeah, well, I know Dwayne well.
Maybe
great
you should,
guy.
You know.
Well, it's just something Greg says, and we all know how to take it. But.
Quit it with the shut up. Okay.
No, keep it coming.
Keep the shut up. I love
it. Keep it coming, but just understand that it hurts.
Okay. E.J. Manuel threw about, I think it was 26 passes in the first half of this game, and they only had 14 rushes. And that was at a time he was averaging 3.2 yards per throw. So they came out with a pass-first approach in this game, even when they were winning. It was bizarre, and it didn't work at all.
Are we to take the Texans seriously as playoff contenders? 3-1, maybe not an impressive offense by any stretch, but we're talking about Watt. They're winning games. Can we take them seriously?
I have a rule about this.
Let's hear it.
You can't take any team with Ryan Fitzpatrick as the quarterback seriously.
What about a team with J.J. Watt on the defense?
They might go 8-8.
They still have four games left against Tennessee and Jacksonville. So if they're going to make it, you got to make the argument to their schedule. You win three or four of those games, and maybe you have a chance.
Ryan Tannehill threw for 278 yards and two touchdowns, and the Dolphins cruised to a 38-14 victory over the Oakland Raiders, who stink. In London, the Raiders are now 0-4. Derek Carr got hurt in the game, hurt his leg, hurt his knee. He was replaced by Matt McGloin. I mean, things cannot get any worse for the Raiders right now. So the Dolphins get back on track after the Ryan Tannehill controversy created by his head coach. Are we back in, Greg Rosenthal? Ryan Tannehill back on the horse?
No. Well. Now what? Joe Philbin's going to take credit for this? Like he
did
motivated?
Did Joe Philbin name his starter for week 4 yet?
I think go to Matt Moore. Look, they responded. They were down 7-0 quickly, and I think we all were thinking, wow, maybe the Dolphins season's going to flush away over there in London. Now it's like it never happened. 2-2.
One of the best games of Tannehill's career. He completed 14 straight at one point. Had a passer rating over 145 at halftime. I'm beginning to think the Raiders aren't going to the Super Bowl this year.
No, that's not nice. You always take little jabs at
the Fort
Raiders.
Committee.
Of course I do.
The Fort Committee is getting together this Wednesday on the Around the NFL podcast. Before, we're going to get into a conference room where there's going to be some croissants and coffee and other dishes, and we're going to talk about who's going down. I got a very good feeling that the Oakland Raiders might get the fork. And if you know what that is, just so any first-time listeners, we deem who's done, who's finished. They have no chance of making the playoffs. This feels a little late, about 4 weeks too late potentially. But I think the Raiders are a good chance of getting the fork.
Do you know what other committee is meeting this week?
No.
Mark Davis and all his henchmen to decide Dennis Allen's future.
Oh, they're heading into a bye week, correct? This could be the time. You're right.
NFL media insider Ian Rappaport reported last week that they won't start discussing Dennis Allen's status until they have a laugher like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers did in Atlanta. The Dolphins had 38 unanswered points at one point in this game. It was a laugher.
The Dolphins, too. I mean, this was not – they weren't getting rolled up on by the Saints in the Superdome.
Embarrassing performance for the Raiders, especially on defense.
So you're saying my boy Matt McGloin not going to save the season?
Matt McGloin came in on his second play. They snapped it over his head, went for a 50-yard touchdown to Courtland Finnegan.
Oh, no.
And then a couple of plays later, he threw an interception. It was miserable all around. Circus music playing in the background in London.
You, Greg, you mentioned you were worried about, or there was a possibility that the Dolphins season would flush down the toilet in London. Did you know that the toilet flushes in the opposite direction?
No, the loo.
The loo. In Australia, I think. But I don't know about England.
I don't think
got
so.
Got nothing here.
I don't think so.
I got nothing. I'm sure one of our listeners can alert me if it flushes the right direction.
What makes our direction right?
I'm an expert on Japanese toilets.
America.
The Japanese toilets are something
Asian
else.
Asian toilets are the best, by far.
there. I don't know if you ever saw that Simpsons. I like that. Jump it in there. That Simpsons episode where like the toilet, you know, talks to Homer and makes a dinner reservation for him. Like it's pretty much like that. Nice
that
and heated.
Terrifying.
I don't really want my toilet talking.
Yeah, let's
the
keep
light.
It simple.
The light turns off when you close the thing. I mean, it's.
I want privacy in there. I don't want some robot telling me what to do.
All right. Yeah, the toilet technology in Western civilization poor.
Yeah, it is. It is something that they're
not advanced
they're
in
like
20
us.
Years.
They're crushing us.
All right.
It only has one job.
Yeah, that's, some things are meant to be kept simple. Pittsburgh Steelers jumped out to a nice lead, or fell behind and then got ahead of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I should say. Had a 7-point lead in the fourth quarter, and then it all fell apart. Mike Glennon takes the Bucs down the field, hits Vincent Jackson for a 5-yard touchdown with 7 seconds to play. And the Buccaneers beat the Pittsburgh Steelers at Heinz Field 27-24. The Steelers committed 13 penalties for 125 yards in the game. They let a gimme get away in a team that was trailing 56-0 the week before. Chris Wessling, your team of ATL nominee, just went up in flames. Explain this to me.
They stink. I'm just kidding.
What's that? What's up with that?
I think this is the most bipolar team in the league. They don't know who they are. They kind of play like the Cowboys have been playing for the last 3 years.
Oh, that's not a compliment.
No, it's not at all. They can score on
Doesn't
you.
Doesn't sound like a team of ATL either.
They came out in a fog. Big Ben got sacked twice on the opening drive. Tampa Bay got set up with a really short field. The receivers kept dropping passes. Big Ben was on point for most of the day and had a great game. The Steelers just dominated for 3.5 quarters and let the Buccaneers hang around, and they paid for it in the end.
Wow. I can't believe you really hit on it with calling him bipolar, because the Browns game, week one, awesome in the first half, terrible in the second. Then you had a total stinker in week two, and a perfect game in week three, and then you somehow lose to the Bucs. That's the biggest roller coaster in the league.
That was the biggest upset of the year, I think.
They could blow out any team in the league, I think, and could lose by blowout to any team in the league.
That's a good question. Is that the biggest blowout, I mean, the biggest upset of the year? It probably
I think it is.
There hasn't been many huge upsets.
Considering what happened with the Bucs last Thursday night, I mean, I think it was a foregone conclusion. And I wonder, obviously, we all picked it, a zero pick for the around the NFL team. We all took the Steelers. I'm curious what that national consensus was that they track all the people on NFL.com. I'm sure it was at least 98% or something Steelers. It had to be something absurd. But it didn't work out that way. Wes, by the way, do you want to use your Matthew Mulligan and get the Detroit Lions as a team of ATL nominee at the Steelers' expense and send them packing?
Oh, the way you phrased the question, what I want to do is keep both the Lions and the Steelers involved. That's what I want to do.
You can't, though.
Well, I don't believe there are rules in this game.
Well, I have officially voted no to the Pittsburgh Steelers, so they cannot be a team of ATL.
All right. Well, that wasn't my doing, so you take credit for that.
There's got to be rules, Wes. There's got to be structure to life.
No, there do not have to be rules for Team of ATL. It's purely organic.
I know
who
you're a cowboy, Wes. You're a cowboy. You wear your cowboy hat.
I'm with Wes. I don't think there needs to be any rules.
You both are, but you don't understand the importance of structure. Well, if I had Sessler here with me, he would help me.
It doesn't really matter because the Steelers aren't going to be the team of ATL. You know, Mark should block them. I'll block them.
I just did.
I can't imagine.
It's over.
It's over. Wow. Oh, Wes is not taking this well.
I was just trying to think of how I was going to respond. I need to get the Lions in there then.
Yeah.
All right. The Lions are now on the board. And that's a much better.
All right. Pick. I'll give up the Steelers. But if they start playing really well, I'm not going to be thrilled.
You can root for them. You can do whatever you want.
All right.
And by the way, speaking of the stick of fork in them, we talked about we missed the opportunity. We forgot to do it. Stick a fork in the Bucs. And I guess maybe we should hold off now. With Mike Glennon looking frisky, he's the quarterback.
Well,
we still want to do it?
They had 64 yards at halftime
you
today.
You know what's interesting, though? They're only one game out of first. That's a fact. That's a fact.
They are not a good football
NFC
team.
NFC South, no winning team so far.
I think you should be good at football, and they're not.
That's good. Phillip Rivers is on fire, gentlemen. Threw for 377 yards and 3 touchdowns today, and the Chargers beat up on the winless Jacksonville Jaguars, a 33-14 win on Sunday in San Diego in a game, really. They just took care of business is what they had to do. Blake Bortles made his first start, threw 2 interceptions, did throw a touchdown pass, but the Jaguars are 0-4, and the Chargers are rolling, gentlemen, and Phillip Rivers is too. Is any quarterback in the NFL playing better than Phillip Rivers right now?
Andrew Luck.
Well,
in the past 2 weeks.
last 2 weeks against soft opponents. Everyone beats up on the Jaguars. And the thing about the Jaguars secondary, when people are open, they're really open. I mean, that's what happens the last couple weeks. But that's not to take anything away from Rivers, because he also made a number of really fantastic plays in this game when he was under pressure, evading pressure, just doing Philip Rivers types of things.
If the Jaguars were any more of a tomato can, Greg Rosenthal would line them up to challenge for his toaster.
Well, not as a – their defense, yes. Well played. But now the offense is pretty interesting. Blake Bortles looked really good today. I know they only ended up with 14 points, but 29 of 37, 253, had a touchdown, had two late interceptions when they were trying to play catch-up, made a lot of really impressive plays. I mean, he – has leapt off the screen more than any rookie quarterback. Certainly, well, I guess just a couple years ago they were looking pretty good. But his first
since
game.
Since 2012.
Right, not that long ago. but he's looked really good the first couple times out.
I don't think we can emphasize enough how bad the Jaguars are on defense, especially pass defense. Kirk Cousins and Luck had the best passer ratings of their careers against them. Rivers was over 130 today, one of the best games of his career. The Bucks gave up 56 points to the Falcons and have given up 33 fewer points than the Jaguars on the season.
Wow. The thing about Rivers, why he is an MVP candidate this early, is he's not getting much help. Their running game stinks. 20 for 42 today from Brandon Oliver and Donald Brown. And the defense is okay, but the offensive line's not playing well. Rivers has been under pressure quite a bit, so he had to play really well in this game.
And I look ahead at the schedule for the Chargers. They're 3-1 now. Three straight wins. They really should have won that week one against the Cardinals. They did not, but 3-1. Home to the Jets, the reeling Jets next week, at the Raiders after that, and then home to the Chiefs. They could easily be 6-1 heading into Bronco, into Denver for week 8, which is a Thursday night football game. So Chargers are in a good spot right now.
Enjoy watching Keenan Allen this week when you fire that up in Game Rewind. Had a great, great game. Just tiptoes and nice catches. And one final point. Everyone blames the offensive line for Toby Gerhart's struggles. But sometimes it's 3rd-and-1 or 4th-and-1. And Toby Gerhart runs up into that line like the tiptoe burglar, to use Deion Sanders' old nickname for Sean Alexander. Hit it.
Tiptoe burglar.
Hit that run, you know, Toby. Let's go. You're splitting carries with Denard Robinson. That's a bad sign.
It's fair. We brought up Andrew Luck. So let's talk about Andrew Luck. The third-year quarterback threw 4 touchdown passes on Sunday, leading the Colts to a wipeout 41-17 win over the flailing Tennessee Titans, who have now lost 3 straight games. He did this with the help of Reggie Wayne, who still looks like Reggie Wayne. 7 catches for 119 yards and a touchdown. The Colts looking good against bad competition. Wes, you said it. Andrew Luck is an MVP frontrunner through 4 games. Greg, do you agree? Is he that level right now?
Sure. Why not? I mean, it's 4 games into the season. He's played 3 good games, I guess, right? I wouldn't put him at MVP level.
He's been on fire ever since you called him out.
I didn't call him out. I said,
I think there's a correlation.
I think it's fair to point out that he goes in hot and cold streaks like other young quarterbacks.
Like other quarterbacks.
Right.
All quarterbacks.
No, like
around the NFL writers.
He has been streakier. Even Colts fans know. He's not an unbelievably accurate quarterback, I wouldn't say.
Well, he's the only quarterback in NFL history with back-to-back games of 350 yards, at least 4 touchdowns, 70% completions, and only 1 total interception. So he's been pretty accurate the last 2 weeks.
Right, against the Titans and Jaguars. And the thing that saves this Colts team is that they're in that division. I'm not saying the Colts won't be a good team, but the fact they're in this division, and when you're 0-2, instead of having some tough week 3 game and going to Green Bay or whatever, they get to play the Jaguars and the Titans back-to-back.
Here's the really good thing. I watched this game closely today. If you're a Colts fan, you're really excited about, Luck lit a bad team up, but he also wasn't sacked once, and that's they need to protect him, because without him, they would be the repeat of what happened after Peyton Manning got hurt. They would go right down the drain. On the other side, if you're curious, because I know
I am. I want to know about the Charlie Whitehurst experience.
I was going to say, the clipboard Jesus made an appearance, And, you know, he didn't kill the Titans. They didn't lose because of Charlie Whitehurst. He threw a touchdown pass. He actually had the Titans' longest run of the game, which should tell you something. He threw an interception. It wasn't his fault. So Whitehurst did what Whitehurst is going to do, and that's why he has a beautiful beachside vista view. It opens up. He's got all these acoustic guitars. I tweeted – that's funny. I tweeted that I imagine he has all these acoustic guitars and can only play part of Glycerine. I don't think he has – I don't think he has the ability to hang with it just like in quarterbacking. He's just kind of – chooses to stay in the middle. I don't know why I'm taking shots at Whitehurst right now.
His team lost 41-17. It was one of the best games of his career.
It was, right? Had to have been.
Serious. Yeah. So, yeah. And the Titans, if you got excited after week one, they've lost three straight. In every game this season, they've given up more and more points.
I think the Fork Committee will be discussing the Titans.
Wow. Early, but that's
how can you fork a team that doesn't exist?
Just be forking.
They should trade for Tom Savage to be their quarterback.
Dan hit on a good point, though. The offensive line for Indianapolis, I think a little bit better this year, don't we think?
Yeah, I think they're getting a little healthier, too.
And we should give Chuck Pagano a little credit because I feel like we're a little critical of Chuck, and maybe that's earned. I like the successful onside kick attempt after their first touchdown. Pat McAfee, who's annoying on NFL AM. Wait, no. Who's awesome on NFL AM.
Shadowy League figures.
A beautiful onside kick recovered, led to another touchdown. So good job by you, Chucky Pagano.
Nobody beats up on patsies like Chuck Pagano.
Chuck Strong. Teddy Bridgewater made his first start of the season. He passed for 317 yards, added a rushing touchdown, and the Minnesota Vikings beat up and held off the Atlanta Falcons 41-28 on Sunday. The Vikings tied a franchise record with four rushing touchdowns, including three from Matt Asiata and one more for Bridgewater. A nice win for the Vikings. And, gentlemen, I ask you, the Atlanta Falcons are kind of a hard team to figure out right now, but I guess the thing we do know is that their defense stinks.
They're a great home team. This is two losses now away from home, but this is a bad loss. Teddy Bridgewater's first start. I mean, what did he look like to you?
He looked great. I mean, he averaged his yards per attempt average. What is it if you go over 10, which is double the Gabbert zone? It's like the bizarro Gabbert zone. 10 yards per attempt. He looked comfortable. He pushed the ball downfield. He ran the ball well. He did everything he wanted except for finish the game. He hurt his ankle on his last carry of the game near the goal line. Came out, actually got carted, but it wasn't a serious cart situation. I think they gave him some x-rays. He came back on the field for the final minutes. He told NFL Media's Omar Ruiz after the game that he's going to play on Thursday against the Packers. A little bit of a bad luck, bad break there, that they have a short week to face one of the best teams in the NFC. But if you're the Vikings, you're thrilled by the way Teddy Bridgewater looked. Frankly, I was surprised that he looked this good. He looked ready and almost looked like a guy that should have been in there week one.
Remember the 1998 Vikings? Randy Moss's rookie year, Chris Carter, Randall Cunningham. That's who the Falcons made this team look like today. 558 yards for the Vikings.
Wow.
Matt Asiata and Jerick McKinnon.
Yeah, he was amazing, Jarius, too.
Jarius Wright came into this game with 37 yards. He had eight catches for 132 yards in this game.
He was beating up on Marcus Trufant. The one thing that annoys me, and I'm sure it annoys thousands upon thousands of fantasy owners of Cordarrelle Patterson, they are not involving him in the run game. Had no rushes, had a couple catches in the game, but he doesn't have a big part. In fact, Jarius Wright had more targets, 10, than Greg Jennings and Patterson combined. So I don't know, whatever works, because Teddy Bridgewater got it
right.
Done.
That's the
exactly.
connection.
So. Hey, listen, if you're a Vikings fan, an absolute, out-of-nowhere, inconceivable disaster occurs where the greatest player in franchise history disappears off the face of the earth, and they're still alive, and they got excited people, and they're playing outdoors, and the sun's shining, and they got a rookie quarterback who could be the new face of the franchise. All is not lost in Minnesota.
This is really impressive win, because so far it's been their defense that's been the better side, and bounce back after two losses in a row like that and to put up 41 points, the Vikings are going to remain frisky. We've been talking about it. They're going to be a tough out.
When I was riding back from Vegas, I caught wind of a Sessler when I was listening to the podcast.
Oh.
Oh, yes. That's right.
Forgot about that.
Name to watch if the Vikings win this in the final seconds. Harrison Smith, safety.
Why is that? Is that a Sessler? What's he going to do?
Just have a feeling yeah. He may have the turnover that changes the complexion of this game.
All right. Let's call it even. We couldn't give him Blake Bortles week 3 starter, but we're going to give him this. Even though the game was a 10-point game but still that ended the game.
Harrison Smith picked it off to end the game. Sessler called it.
You could say it's a deciding interception. Mark, not here to accept his Emmy. We're going to have to throw it in the garbage. Good job, Mark Sessler. Mark doesn't listen to the shows he's not on, though, so he'll never even know we gave him. We'll have to tell him privately.
He doesn't listen to the shows he is on, either.
You are a factory of sound!
Oh, no! No!
That's just not nice.
Aaron Rodgers told everybody to relax. And now Packers fans can. A 38-17 win, a convincing win on the road against the Chicago Bears. Rodgers was lights out, 302 yards and 4 touchdowns. Some big days by big-time quarterbacks today. The Packers scored on their first 6 possessions to build their lead, and that is 5 straight wins for the Packers at Soldier Field. And to talk about this game, we get on the phone our Chicago Around the NFL correspondent. He is the great Kevin Patra. Kevin Patra coming at you. What's up, buddy boy?
How's it going, fellas?
You are loving life today. Your Lions are in first place, and you got to watch one of your favorite players of all time, Aaron Rodgers, light up the Bears.
Wait, what about the Detroit Tigers clinching the the American League Central Division? A big day for Detroit sports.
I didn't even know.
There's nothing like backing into a win.
So tell us about the Green Bay Packers. Everyone was worried that this offense, or some people were worried that this offense was not clicking and what was wrong, and then everything clicked. Tell us about it.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers, as you said, looked phenomenal today. He was just throwing darts and dropping dimes. It was really
nice.
I mean, he told everyone to relax, like you said, and there's no reason to doubt that they can't come to form now, because he proved today running game still has a lot of work to go. But if there's any question, Aaron Rodgers is still the man. He showed it today. Absolutely dominant.
Eddie Lacy said this week that he looked at the film of his terrible game against the Lions, and it was all about the pad level. Did that solve everything?
Did not. I mean, he still has no holes. He's still running into defenders right at the line of scrimmage and working for everything he's got. They still have a lot of issues there, and they almost just sort of abandoned it. He had 17 carries, but they just went and they decided they could pick apart the Bears' secondary, and that's what they did. And the play action, and Aaron Rodgers had all day to throw. The Bears got next to no pass rush. They had one sack, but that was for 0 yard loss, and it was on a scramble. They just didn't get in his face, and he had time to just find Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb. They were running free all day in the secondary.
There were no punts in this game, which is only the second regular season game in NFL history.
Do it, Dom Capers.
To somehow get that done. I mean, when you look at the box score, you see 496 yards for the Bears, 358 for the Packers. So, like, what makes up for that difference that the Packers still ended up winning this game so convincingly?
Well, it was the quintessential Jekyll and Hyde performance by Jay Cutler. They moved the ball all game. Even in the second half when they didn't score points, they were moving the ball. He had one throw over the middle at the very end that should have looked like it could have been a touchdown, but they couldn't. They reviewed it, and they couldn't see. Micah Hyde, best play of the season, was blocking the camera, I think. And he threw the next two possessions in the second half. He threw a pick, and then they turned it over on downs, and then he was out for Jimmy Clausen. And he just started forcing throws in the second half when things weren't there, and that's what it was. They were moving the ball fine, and it was just the turnovers killed them, and they couldn't keep pace with Rodgers.
How about this NFC North? 3 teams at 2-2, and your Detroit Lions now on top at 3-1. Might as well just start printing up the T-shirts right now.
You know, as a Lions fan, you always hope for the best and embrace for the worst. So we still got a lot of games to play.
That's true. All right, Kevin Patra, great hearing your voice, especially strong connection. Sometimes you sound like you're on a battlefield in Sarajevo, but today you sound like you're next door. Thank you.
Oh, I appreciate it.
Little peek behind the curtain.
See you, Kevin.
Bye, Kev. Ooh, jaunty alert. Which takes us to Sunday night in Big D, where the Dallas Cowboys welcome the New Orleans Saints to town. The Saints have had struggles on the road, and that continued in a big way in Big D. A convincing win by the Cowboys, a dominant win, really, where the Cowboys jumped out to a lead on their first drive and never looked back. DeMarco Murray led the way with a monster game, well over 100 yards and multiple touchdowns. Tony Romo looks like Tony Romo again, moving well, throwing touchdowns, not making killer mistakes. Gentlemen, the Cowboys romped the Saints, and I know they're Mark picked the Saints to win a Super Bowl, but they're not going to win anything if they keep struggling on the road, and this was an ugly performance.
Maybe they're just not that good.
They haven't played like they're very good for a month. There hasn't been one good Saints game where you came away from the game saying, wow, those are the Saints I expected.
I think what had me a little peeved in this game, the defense was awful, but Sean Payton early in the game, they've got the ball in Cowboys territory on fourth and short, and they punt. They don't even go for it. There was twice in the game where they had decisions like this where it was just like, where's the Sean Payton we used to know, the aggressiveness?
Right, and they also took a couple field goals that you could have gone for it on fourth down. Shane Graham missed one of them. Another when they're trailing, I think it was 24-0 at the time after halftime, and yet they go for a short field goal instead of going for it on fourth down, and Dallas immediately responds with the drive. It's just – I don't know whether to be more impressed with the Cowboys or more annoyed at the Saints.
That makes a lot of sense. There are a couple of things that jump out to me. Number one, first and foremost, the Cowboys are 3-1.
Yeah.
That's a little weird.
Tied for first place.
I don't think any of us saw that. Number two, even though the Saints have proven time and time again when you look at the numbers that they're not the same team on the road offensively, the Cowboys defense really shutting down the Saints is really impressive to me. And number three, Tony Romo, and I tweeted this out early in the game, you know, the guy, when he messes up, social media explodes. When he plays well, you don't hear anything.
Yeah.
And let's give the guy some credit. He's coming back from another back surgery. He looked bad those first 2 weeks. We all wondered if he was going to ever be the same guy or if it was going to be something that was going to take a long time. Well, the answer is now, by week four of the 2014 season, he's the same guy that's been a really productive player for a decade.
I give Wessling credit for telling me to calm down when I was – quite critical of Tony Romo.
Wes basically was the equivalent of your shut up.
Yeah.
I just said shut up. I agreed with you. I agree with your analysis completely. He looked bad. He didn't look like he was fully recovered from back surgery, but I didn't think that meant he would be the same way all year.
Well, one thing he's done the last couple of weeks is avoided pressure in the pocket, which is his trademark, really. And so that indicates a player, even if he doesn't have as much juice on his fastball, that's more important, that he's getting out of the way and he's feeling healthy enough to do that. And they have the most consistent running back in the league right now. They're a very controlled, efficient, smart offense right now, at least for a few games they've been.
Yeah, it's exactly weird. How we thought in the preseason. The Cowboys are winning with the defense and ground attack.
Well, what about this Saints offense? Because, look, they haven't had a great running game, and they haven't had big plays. Even though they're moving the ball very well before this game, they haven't had big plays.
They missed Mark Ingram. He was the big playmaker.
Oh, where's Jimmy Graham?
You and Mark Ingram. Graham's been fine.
Mark Ingram averaging 6 yards a carry, which I believe leads all NFL running backs starters.
It's something else that Sean Payton has to be wondering when he looked across the sidelines in this game. Maybe I got the wrong defensive coordinator here. Maybe I should have had Rod Marinelli. Jerry Jones knew what he was doing firing Rob Ryan. No,
Every other year. So this is a bad Rob Ryan year. He'll be back to bad Santa, potentially somewhere else next year.
You know that Jerry Jones had to have.
Oh, he's loving this.
They
showed a shot when they went up 31-3 in his giant lavish box of him grinning maniacally. He was just, this is a special game for him because you know that he was happy not only get the win in primetime to go to 3-1 against a marquee team, but to get it against Rob Ryan, who, you know, took a shot late this week about the Dallas has a new coordinator every year and blah, blah, blah. Bob Bates, DDS, by the way, my father-in-law, texted me about 4 minutes ago, said, how about them Cowboys? So Lone Star State is all in on the Cowboys.
You kind of always want to like the Cowboys, too.
Yeah.
Now you're all in.
You know,
you got a hero pick on this one.
And a hero pick.
The Saints are only one game back in the NFC South, so that's good for them. But when you look at their schedule and you look at the NFC South schedule, I'm convinced you're only getting one playoff team from the NFC South. No wild card team is going to come from it. Because everyone's schedule, when you look forward, is brutal. because they have to play the NFC West out of division and they have to play the AFC North out of division.
Oofa.
So there's no easy games. I mean, you look at the Saints schedule: Detroit, Green Bay, Carolina, San Francisco, Cincinnati, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Carolina. I mean, it's just nonstop. No gimmies.
All right. So that is Sunday night's edition of the Around the NFL podcast. We will be back on Wednesday. We'll be talking about maybe a little talk about Monday Night Football, some news, obviously. We're going to get the Fork Committee together. We're going to check in on TD because I'm sure he's already started on his Win Greg's Toaster contestants, rounding some up. Wes, while you were out, while you were in Vegas, we did some initial talk about getting some, as Greg puts it, tomato cans lined up. So if you think you could take down Greg Rosenthal ahead of the Titanic rematch with Chris Wessling, you hit up at Producer TD on Twitter, and he'll get it done. Our video segments, where can they be accessed, by the way, TD, if people seem to like them?
On NFL.com, NFL Now, it's in the articles. Tonight's some posts are going to be in tonight's articles recapping the games, and it's everywhere.
They're
guys.
Also at,
it's everywhere.
At our podcast landing page, too, Greg.
That's,
right?
It
that's
is.
True.
Podcast.
How do you get there?
There's an NFL.com/podcast.
Slash.
Yes, slash podcast.
Slash.
There's also a video podcast channel. It's follow the guys on Twitter. You'll see it on there.
And
sure.
We want to thank everyone who's watched the videos so far and have quickly made them the most watched videos in the
history. Are you kidding me?
Of NFL.com.
That's not true.
That's not true.
I like the sound.
Might
of it
be.
Though.
It's up there.
There's
probably.
No one's told me it's not true.
We are now ubiquitous.
All right. So that's it. This is Dan Hansa signing off for the mailman, the boss, and TD behind the glass. I thought I saw K Rich back there too. We will be back on Wednesday. See you then.